Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 12th, the year of our Lord 2024. And today we celebrate and recognize the Ascension of the Lord. And we also celebrate and recognize Mother's Day. A very happy Mother's Day to everybody. And a very specific happy Mother's Day to my mom, Jane Coyle. I love you with all my heart. And a happy Mother's Day also to my mother-in-law, Nancy Tompkins. God's peace be with you both. Here we are at the end of the Easter season, making our way toward the day of Pentecost and celebrating this gospel. And so, it's a joy to welcome you here, no matter what the day has been like or what you've got ahead of you. Let's all just join together in this moment and celebrate all that is good and hopeful. And we begin that by just taking in a good breath, because that is a gift. Take it in and savor it. Hold it for a bit. And as you breathe in and as you breathe out, call to mind the people you love most. Call to mind those things in your life for which you are most grateful. Call to mind the goodness of God. Give thanks to God for all of these things. Maybe turn your face toward the sky. Open up your arms. Receive every good and perfect gift that comes from the hand of God. And in this spirit, in this posture, let us begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in the digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast. There's a note under there. It says sermon notes. Right below there is an icon. You go ahead and click on that and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Precious love, your ascended Son promised the gift of holy power. Send your spirit of revelation and wisdom, that in the blessed freedom of hope, we may witness to the grace of forgiveness and sing songs of joy with the peoples of the earth to the one who makes us one body. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God. and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. And we pray, God, that in this time of reflection that our minds will be open to understand the scriptures. Come alongside us, we pray. Save us from distraction and misinterpretation. And help us to hear your voice and to respond according to your will and in your way. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, this is the seventh Sunday of Easter, but we will be focusing our attention on the Ascension of our Lord, which we formally celebrated as a church on the 9th, on Thursday. And so we are here in the 24th chapter of Luke. The entirety of the 24th chapter of Luke is Easter Sunday. It begins early in the morning on the first day of the week. The sun is just coming up. And Jesus' beloved friends, this group of women, has come to the tomb to give him a proper burial, an anointing of oil, and all the proper supplies that they've brought with them. They've come expecting one thing, and they receive something quite different. This is a theme throughout the Gospels. They find a stone rolled away in an empty tomb, and they get divine word that this Jesus is alive, just as he said. And they ran home to tell the others what they'd seen, who couldn't quite believe what they'd seen. So Peter jumps up and runs out, goes to the tomb, and finds it just as they said. It's empty. And then the narrative jumps ahead. We can only imagine what it was like for that word to get out on the street. But it does. It had to. And it had to be very disturbing to some people, frightening. Maybe it made some people mad. For others, it was their hope, the flame of hope in their hearts had reignited. But we can imagine that things were tense in Jerusalem. And later on then, as the story progresses in the 24th chapter of Luke, we have the story of these two folks making their way home to Emmaus, taking this day's journey home. And as they're walking along, they encounter a stranger who asks them what they're talking about. And they say, "We're talking about Jesus. Surely you've heard about everything that's going on about Jesus." And he helps them understand exactly what was going on about Jesus, because he points to Messiah in every letter of their scriptures, throughout the Torah, throughout the prophets, throughout the literature. And their minds are open, and the miles fly by until they're at their destination. Sun is setting. They say, "Please come in with us." And so this stranger accepts their hospitality. They sit together at table. This stranger picks up bread and breaks it. And in the breaking of the bread, they realize it is Jesus who has been with them all along. And as soon as their eyes are opened, he disappears. He's opened their minds on the road. He's opened their eyes at the table. They compare notes as to what they're feeling and what they've heard. And they know they have to make the return trip back to the city to tell the others. And so they do. They tell them the story of this encounter with Jesus on the road. And then as they're comparing their notes about what others are saying, Jesus himself stands among them. And as we've been reflecting on in John's gospel, the first words out of his mouth are a blessing of peace. "Peace be with you." And they're afraid, and they think they've seen a ghost. Some of the stories that we've been reading over the course of this season of Easter. He says, "I am no ghost. Look, my hands, my side. I am not a ghost." He's not like he was. The old Jesus did not just pop in behind a locked door. The old Jesus didn't disappear from their sight after breaking bread. And yet he is there physically in their presence. Luke is trying to tell you he is physically in their presence. And yet there is something very different going on here. And to further help them understand his physical presence, he asked them the important question, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they feed him some fish, and he eats it in their presence. And once they settle in to the idea that it is indeed Jesus physically present with them, we pick up today's reading. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" These past 3 years were the fulfillment of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And just the same gift that he gave the two on the road to Emmaus, he gives to the group gathered. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day." Everything. This is what you've seen play out. This is not shocking and new. We've been preparing for generations for this moment, and it's happening in your presence. And then he finishes that sentence by saying, I'll read it again. "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Just like we saw in John's gospel, where he appears to them, he blesses them, and he commissions them to go out and do this work. So Luke gives us a telling similar to that. And he continues on to say, "You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Again, we see this in John also. He blesses them with peace. He commissions them to go out with the gospel, and then he promises them the help they will need for that journey. All of it, just they're taking all of this in. Can you imagine what these 24 hours, this has been a theme for the last 7 weeks, but for us to put ourselves in their place, because we've inherited these stories so that we would be inspired in the same ways that these original hearers of the gospel, these original friends and disciples, received it. I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city and be clothed with power on high. And then we get to this moment I think that we were prepared for in the telling of the Emmaus story. He continues to teach, and then he takes them out to Bethany, a much shorter walk. Think of Mary, Martha, Lazarus. This is their hometown, very familiar territory, very comforting home territory for them to go to Bethany. And he's lifting up his hands and blessing them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. And I don't know that I have a clean and concise answer to this, but there is something about him opening their minds, helping them to see his presence throughout their scripture, and then opening their eyes in the breaking of the bread, that once they can see with their minds, once they have seen him with their eyes, especially in the seeing of the eyes, he disappears from their sight. And I don't want us to get hung up too much. It's a good question for us to ask what really happened, what physically happened to him. He's physically alive, just as he said, incarnate. But we would know that he didn't just shoot up into the sky like a rocket, but that he withdrew from their presence. This is profoundly mysterious, that he is physically alive but gone from their sight. That is the ascension. He's not some universe galaxies away, but just beyond the limits of our ability to see, and yet fully present in the life of the church, which is the story that Luke is about to tell us in the book of Acts. Jesus is alive. The resurrection of Jesus is a physical reality that opens our minds and our eyes to the presence of God. But these commissionings that we read about, Jesus' presentation of himself to his disciples and to us, he bids them peace, he bids us peace, and then he commissions them to go and to do this particular work, this work of repentance and forgiveness. This is how the kingdom of heaven will be ushered in, to tell the story of Jesus and then to embody the story of Jesus, that the church, the disciples and their descendants, do the things that he did, teach the things that he taught, live the way he lived, and in some cases die the way he died, so that the world would come to know the truth, that through this repentance, through being like our Lord, we can find forgiveness, first for ourselves and then for the other. This is truly radical. This is a different way of looking at the world than any movement or faction or political party could ever imagine. A world of personal responsibility and forgiveness and repentance of myself and the other, a world of mutual blessing. Allow yourself to think about that kind of a world where it's not everything's zero sum. I'm right and you're wrong. That we stand in the presence of our God, our Lord Jesus, and we see him wounds and all, wounds that he received at our hands. And yet he comes to forgive us and show us a more excellent way. Every word of it's true. And so on this day, I pray that he will open our minds and open our eyes, and we will see him ascend to the Father, and we will find ourselves in continual prayer right where we are, so that this good news can change us and we will have resurrection lives as well. It is mighty, mighty and eternal good news, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We pray, dear God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is to you specifically that we pray. And first we confess. We fall short, stumble and fall. We get twisted around and we start walking in the wrong direction. But we give you thanks because it seems that every time we do so, you pick us up, dust us off, turn us around, bless us with the right friend or the right word or the right opportunity to help us to continue to walk in your way. And we give you thanks for all of that, for all of your grace and your peace. And so we come to you humbly with prayers for this good world. We pray, O God, your blessings upon the arrogant, that you would bless them with humility, that you would be present with those who believe they know it all, that you would open their minds to understand the scriptures. And we pray, God, for the ordinary, unnamed faithful, the people we pass on the street, the people that help us put our groceries into the car. You know these folks. Everyone with a story to tell, everyone living their life to the best of their abilities. Come alongside all of us, O God, with your good news. And you know our hearts. You know our joys and concerns. Some of us write them down. There are prayer lists. Maybe there are to-do lists. But they're the things that occupy our thinking, O God. And you call us not to worry, but to pray and to have hope. So in this moment, we honor that command of yours. As we make a quiet moment here, to share this list with us, with you, to turn this list over to you, and to trust that as we do, you'll consider every word of it, and you will bless us and keep us. So we pray, join us in this quiet moment. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to practice peace. and to practice quiet each and every day. And we pray that you hear us as we celebrate one of the gifts of our faith, as we celebrate this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us receive a blessing from our good God. May God bless us and keep us. May God make his face to shine upon us and bless us with peace. Our good God, who blesses us with his peace. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that as he enters into our lives, blesses us with peace. Go in that peace. Amen.